Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, maybe a week or so ago, I was starting to get ready for this morning's message. I just felt a little nudge in a different direction from our series. We've been doing a series on loving well or loving each other deeply. And I just want to try to be obedient when the Lord leads in a little bit different direction. I don't want to ignore that. And so I just felt like the Lord was highlighting the need for us as a congregation right now, for so many of us, to learn how to handle disappointment and unmet expectations. I just think there's so much of that right now. There's just, for so many different areas, if you're like, I bet he's preaching this message at me. Yeah. I am, and the one next to you, because they've got just as many problems as you do. So this isn't aimed at anyone, it's aimed at everyone. We're in a real mess right now. There's so many challenges, there's so many disappointments. That word disappointment, you can't even say it with a smile. Like it hurts to even say it. And I want to partner that word disappointment with unmet expectations, because so many times, unmet expectations lead us into that, the depths of disappointment. And here's the truth. They're not going anywhere. You're going to have to face disappointments your whole life. And while we might be in a particularly challenging moment right now, where a bunch of us are facing disappointments kind of all at once in some ways that are really some really painful ways. Disappointments is just a part of life. Lost or saved, I think as we come into the kingdom, we have this wrong expectation that everything's just going to work and everything's going to be fine and peaches and roses, and it's just not that way. And the Lord actually has purpose in all of that. You know, He is powerful enough to make that not happen. I mean, if He wanted there to be no disappointments and no unmet expectations, He is big enough to orchestrate that, and He chooses on purpose not to. It's like, ooh, these are some challenging ideas. Life deals us many blows, but I think few hit as deep as unmet expectations. I don't like losing at the game, but I hate having an expectation that I was expecting, that it mattered to my heart, and then it just flat didn't happen. It hurts at a different level, a deeper, more painful level. And since they're not going anywhere, we're going to continue to have those. Not every day, but probably every season, something. Since we're going to continue to have those, we really need to learn how to navigate them. We've got to figure out, how do we posture our heart? How do we not, so that we can handle them the way that would be pleasing to the Lord and the way that would be conducive to our growth? Here's the two things that I wanted to start with. Handling or mishandling disappointment and unmet expectations, there are two things that are absolute realities. There are consequences if we mishandle it. There are consequences. And the problem is, the consequences are often deep in our soul. There are consequences. There's also growth and maturity and steps that we get to take forward if we do handle it well. So it's like, it's not just neutral. It's not neutral either way. There's consequences in the positive sense or in the negative sense related to unmet expectations and disappointments. Just give you this verse out of Proverbs 13. There are verses like this that I'm just kind of like mad about, because they're not a suggestion. They're just facts about life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. Notice there's not any counsel. Like, therefore do this and you'll never have a hope deferred. or do this, and you'll always be able to get that tree of life stuff going on in every situation. It's not how it is. This is just a fact about life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. So I want to give you a little bit of encouragement. If your heart is sick because of hope deferred, you're not doing anything wrong. You're human. Because the Word of God says, when hope is deferred, when there's something that we really want, we believe, we're hoping for, we're pressing in for, we're asking God, and it doesn't happen, it makes our heart sick. Now the question is, what do we do once our heart is sick? Because we can't just live there indefinitely, because that's where the consequences come. But we've got to recognize, like, this hurts, and it's very normal that it hurts. Well, the consequence here, if we can put up 1 Peter 5, if we don't properly handle the disappointment, if we don't engage rightly, the enemy is lurking, and he will destroy you. See, that's where the consequence, that's where it's so dire. We can't do neutral. We've got to actively engage, because the enemy is like, the Lord allows circumstances, and he waits and watches, and he's looking for maturity to come forth. The enemy is standing right there as well, and he cannot wait to cause problems and increase the difficulties, increase the distraction, get you into accusation in order that he can actually kill, steal, and destroy. It's really interesting because it's the same situation. It's not like there's a God situation and a devil situation. In every situation where you would find yourself disappointed and hurt and even sick in heart, you have got two pretty big players involved in the situation. And it's so important that we do what Peter says here, humble yourselves. Let me just say this. When we have an unmet expectation, our flesh instantly accuses. That is the first thing that comes out of our mouth, out of our heart. Who did this to me? Who is at fault? It could even be self-accusation. Who did this to me? I did this to me. But the first thing that happens when we have an unmet expectation is we start looking for who is responsible so I can be mad at them. And the first thing we need to do is we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up immediately. Oh, do. The Bible says in due time. That he may lift you up when he feels like it. That he may lift you up, not in that moment necessarily, in due time, in the timing of God. But look at this. If you don't humble yourself, you won't get lifted up ever. You've got to humble yourself. And the problem with this in due time thing is sometimes we can muster up enough courage to humble ourselves right now. But then when due time doesn't happen right after, now we've got a new accusation in our heart and a new unmet expectation. I humbled myself. Why didn't you show up and fix the problem immediately? He says, well, I told you in due time. There is a timing of the Lord, and that's where we've got to keep our heart posture. But just think about the currency of the kingdom. It's humility. The Lord wants us humble all the way through the process. The problem is pressing circumstances, unmet expectations, disappointments, they strike hard. I mean, they just pound us in the heart. And our heart aches, and we go, oh, I just want this thing to look different. And the Lord says, I want you to humble yourself under my mighty hand and trust me, and in due time, I will lift you up. I am here. I'm not far. But you've got to trust me. You've got to humble yourself. Cast your anxiety on him because He cares for you. Oh, Lord, I'm just so mad that this thing didn't happen. I see you. I care for you. Cast that anxiety on me and let me be with you in the process. What else do we do? Be alert and of sober mind. You could say, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, stand firm in the faith. See, when we find ourselves in these moments where we're disappointed, it's such a normal part of life. If you're feeling this major disappointment about life, if you're feeling like there's this unmet expectation, I really thought this would happen by now or this is how it is. Not every day, every situation, but probably every season, something. You're going to have that. But if you don't handle it rightly, there really is a real devil who is looking for you to not handle that situation right and to bind you to all sorts of bad thinking, hurt heart, anger, aggression, bitterness, despair. He's looking for that opportunity. We can't give it to him. We can't give him that opportunity. Well, what are we talking about? We're talking about everything. Family expectations. I thought I'd be married by now. I thought married life was going to look different than this. Someone tricked me. I got married because I thought that was going to fix all the problems, and now, lo and behold, I have new problems. And someone I can never escape. And they know me so well. Sometimes there's marriage expectations. Thought I'd have kids by now. I thought when I had kids, they would not look like this. That was awesome. Takes a really rare situation for us to get that particular. Okay, anyway. I was, kind of in my head and heart getting ready for this message. And I don't remember what day it was, but one day I went in and I was running a little bit late to the prayer room. I was like one of those things where it's like, if I hurry, I can make it to the meeting I'm supposed to be in on time, or if I don't hurry, I'm going to definitely be a few minutes late. And I go into my backpack, and there's only one shoe next to my backpack, but that's where I keep my shoes, so that I can put my shoes on, so that I can leave. And there's only one. And I know I left both shoes, but there's only one shoe. And so I immediately go down the usual suspect list and figure out which one it is. And I'm now like, hey, I need my shoe. I am not playing. And they immediately take off running. And then one of the other siblings decides to pursue in order to try to be helpful. In this pursuit, however, they cause the sibling that's running away with the shoe to plumb lose their mind. And as they are running away, they throw the shoe over the neighbor's fence. And I get a report about this because one of the siblings comes in. And all mercy is gone. There is now hysterical delirium breaking out as I am being told what just happened to my shoe. I've got one. The other one, however, is missing in action. I now, though I very much needed to leave this house 3 minutes ago, I now have to go to the process of figuring out what fence, what what child, where, how, and get them to go get that shoe, which then takes another few minutes. And they come back sometime later, giggling hysterically as though something funny had occurred. And I finally get my shoe back, and I move on. My point is, sometimes we have to handle unmet expectations and disappointments. And sometimes those are even connected to family matters. We've got family expectations that we think, it's like, man, Lord, I want this. I'm believing for this in the realm of our family. And those are tough when those don't happen the way that we want. The financial ones are just as hard, in some cases harder. They seem to be more pinching and felt longer. You kind of feel it like on the regular. I almost feel like the unmet family expectations, it's waves that hit. I really wish I was at this place in my journey, family reality by this point. But you don't normally walk around all day feeling that all the time. But it does seem like when the financial pinches come and you've got unmet expectations related to finances, it just seems like those are just kind of a little bit more nagging. They hit you in ways that are kind of pretty consistent. I thought I'd be further along by now in my finances. You know, I've worked so hard, I've done this, I've gotten these different jobs, I thought I'd be further along. I thought I'd be out of debt by now. I sure did think I'd have been out of debt by now. I sure did think that. I thought I'd have my dream job by now, or got promoted by now. I thought I'd own my own house by this point. These expectations related to the financial realm. And guys, there are plenty of people in our church right now that are experiencing pinches on all this stuff. This is real, these unmet expectations. Even ones related to your relationship with God. This might be where the disappointments hit maybe the hardest. I thought I'd be further along in the faith by now. I thought my ministry would look like this. I thought I'd be over this thing already. Whatever nagging thing that you've not been able to get overcome or fully deal with yet. Like, man, I thought I would have been able to overcome this by now. I thought God said this or led me to do that. And it didn't work. And I'm disappointed. I was trying to follow you, God. I was taking the steps I thought you told me to take. And here I am in a pit. These are painful, yeah. Ah, that's how I feel too. It's painful. This is just part of life, though. And I think for some of us, we know this, we just need to be reminded. For others, you might be not really have experienced much major disappointment in life yet, and you start to face one or two of them, and you're like, wait a minute, is this what life is like? I want to go back to not life. Let's go, whatever the other version was, let's do that. And I just want to tell you, like, these are the rules of engagement. This is just how it is. There are real disappointments in life, and we need to figure out how to handle them. By the way, all the areas I just talked about, I have all of those unmet expectations and disappointments. I've experienced all of that before or presently. But I'm okay. And that's the key. We got to get to be okay. We got to be all right and keep moving forward, because this is just part of the package. So let's get some perspective. First thing I want to bring up is, these truths are so simple, you know them, but if we don't feel them again fresh today, I'm concerned we'll have just heard words and no impact will come. But if you'll press in, if you'll go, Lord, speak to me through these Bible verses, you will walk out of here stronger today. Let's put up these verses, Luke 12 and then also Colossians 3. Luke 12, I just want to make it clear, your life isn't about your circumstances. That's the statement I want us to get. Your life isn't actually about your circumstances. He said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. You could replace possessions with experiences. Your life does not consist of the accumulation of your experiences. That's not your life. That's not who you are. Paul says this in Colossians 3, set your mind on things above and don't set your mind on the earthly things, your circumstances. Like, you can't live there. You can't live there. If you live there, you are actually giving the enemy the opportunity to come in and devour. Like, we cannot live with, my life is mostly about my circumstances. It's mostly about what I have. It's mostly about what I've experienced. It's mostly about, you know, these details in life, these light and momentary things. It says, no, you can't live there. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, well, then also you'll appear with him in glory, or then also you'll get to experience the fullness of what your life is really about. But in this age, you get to live in the shadow. It's not the fullness of what you're going to get to experience. And if we as eternal beings that love God, that are going to get to experience the fullness of God in another reality, if we live our life like all that matters is what's happening around us, we miss it and we will live disappointed. I want to say that part again because I think it's really easy as Americans to get this trick in our head. You will live disappointed your whole life if your root and your anchor is in this life and in earthly things. You will live disappointed, and you don't have to, because you weren't created that way. You died. You've got a new life now. It's hidden in Christ. But if we live like my life is really about what job I have and how much money I have and are things going the way that I want, if we live that way, you will live disappointed. And you don't have to. Next point I want to give us about some perspective. Look at Isaiah 30. We've got to remember who God is. What happens when we get all sad and disappointed and unmet expectations are knocking at the door? Again, we get accusational. And a lot of times the accusation, if it doesn't start with God, it escalates to accusation against God. At some point, if we're not careful, if we don't manage it well, we wind up with accusations against God about who he is, about what he's like, about what he said, about what he'll do. We wind up with some significant accusations in our heart against God. And we've got to remember who he is. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. He longs to be gracious to you. You've got to tell your circumstances that. You got to tell your own sick heart that. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. He longs to be gracious to me. Therefore, he will rise and show me compassion. Blessed are all who wait for him. Oh, dang it, there's that timing thing again. Crud. You're willing to be nice. You are for me. You've got a plan, but it's not my timing. And I've got to wait for you. The waiting. Oh, we have got to master the waiting. Because there's a lot of waiting in Christ. See, I am coming soon. I mean, there's a lot of waiting in this relationship with Jesus, but we've got to trust. He is compassionate. He is gracious. He longs to show me his goodness. He longs. He longs to. But blessed are those who wait for him, because there is a timing of the Lord. I've seen this so many times in my life. I've not lived a long life yet, but I've seen this so many times. The answer is coming. His help, his breakthrough, his provision, his moment, it is coming. But It's not yet. And I've got enough behind me to go, I waited, and he showed up. I waited, and he showed up. Sometimes the waited is long. And we have got to posture ourselves with perspective. He is good. He is gracious. He longs to show me his mercies and his compassions. And he will do it. How gracious he will be when you cry for help. We have got to cry for help. And we got to keep crying for help. Listen, I'll just tell you, a big piece of the waiting, you don't stop engaging him. That's where bitterness sets in. That's where division sets in, and the enemy comes, and he lures you out. He's like, ooh, they stopped talking to Jesus. Now I've got my opportunity. As long as you're talking to Jesus, you are safe. It's when you stop talking to Jesus about the ache, about the pain, and we go, I'm tired of talking to him. It hurts too bad. You have no other choice. You can't give up. You've got to keep pressing in and asking him for grace. You've got to engage him and go, you are gracious. You will be gracious when you hear my cry. I have got to keep crying out to you. Yet you do have a timing, a date circled on the God calendar, and I don't know when that date is, and I don't know what this process looks like. I just know it's painful to wait, but I must wait, and I must engage the Lord the whole way through. Friends, you just don't want to do it the other way. The consequences are great. We've got to remember who he is. Also, can you just do just like a little bit of practical? Like when we get all frazzled and sad and mad and stuff, can we just get real practical and give ourselves a little pep talk? You still live in an extremely prosperous nation. Your life is infinitely better than the majority of the planet. Your bad day, you got about 1 billion or 2 billion people praying for your bad day. Like, oh, how I wish I would just have their bad day. Like, I mean, we really need a little bit of perspective. Like, we get whiny. And I just think the angels are like, give them some perspective. Turn the lights off on them for a minute. Let's see how it goes. I mean, like, we've got to get some perspective. You know, like, for real we do. You're generally healthy. I mean, whatever problems we've got, you're generally healthy most of the time. You're in a great community of believers that love you and that are putting up with your bad moods. I mean, it's like, how great is that? That's really great. I mean, perspective here. Like, how bad is it really when these things are true? You're surrounded by loving people. People that just love us. What a beautiful gift that is. Not everybody has that. To be surrounded by loving people. You're chasing Jesus. Like, you're after Jesus, and you're in a community that's after Jesus. You have what you need. You have, I mean, in general, I mean, I get it. You want more of this, and, well, this is extreme, and but really, like, really, you have what you need. And that's, I mean, there's so many that don't. It's like, perspective is also helpful when we get in those moments, and we as me, I'm not pointing at you, well, you too, you're in this with me. When we get in those moments and the pity party starts, we really do need to kind of slap ourselves a little bit and go, perspective. Like, let's just put this in perspective of, like, life on planet Earth for a second. And, yeah, if I micro in on my life and go, well, my life's not as good today as it was yesterday, okay, great. Now you have your little pity party about yourself. But we zoom out, it's like, man, I have it pretty great. I have it pretty great. Another point, and this is just one that we got to hold on to because, man, I just remember, I loved playing football growing up. I loved it. Oh, my gosh. Junior high and high school, I had so much fun playing football. And our coaches would push us so hard, especially in high school. We had, like, the state-winning team one year. It was just, the coaches were pushing us so hard. And I remember a few times being out there like, I am for sure gonna die today. And I never died. Didn't happen one time. Never died. Not once. Felt like it more than a handful of times. I mean, in the hot, you know, 106, you know, degree August weather and all this stuff. I mean, I remember feeling it. But I never died. And I just want to remind us of the fact of 2 Corinthians 4, 8 through 9. We're hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. The Lord will never give you more than you can handle. And when you are tempted, he will provide a way out. Now, why do I say that? You will survive this. You might feel like you're going to die. God will not give you more than you can handle. Oh, but you don't know. You're right, I don't, but he does. And he's the one who said, I won't give you more than you can handle. It's important. This is an important one because there are times when we're so pressed, we're so stretched and aching and disappointed. It's like this expectation. It's not just that it was an expectation once or twice or 10 times. I feel like I've been living in this. I feel like I can't handle it. You can. And you will. You will handle it. You will make it through this. You will be all right. You will not be given more than you can handle, though it may feel that way. You won't die in this. You know, if we allow him to, his desire is to form something in us. I don't like pain, but I do like the thought of a mature Brad one day. I like the idea of it. It's kind of romantic. Like, oh, that'd be nice. It'd be great. And the only way to get there, ignoring that, only way to get there is to go through the process and to have our hearts like submit to the Lord in it. And that's the challenge. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed. Check this out. The very circumstance that is wasting you away is the very circumstance that will renew you. Oh. I want to be renewed. I want to grow. I want to mature. I just don't really like the... Dang. I don't like that process. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs all of the problems. If we submit to it. See, that's the thing. We can waste a trial. You can waste a situation. You can just choose to not embrace the Lord, to not humble ourselves, to not keep seeking. We can waste it. And then we just have to like wait out the clock of the bad thing that's happening. And you get to the end and you're no better off. You're just done with that problem. And those Israelites had to go around that mountain a couple times. I do not want to have to face that same trial again. Because the Lord's like, no, I brought this into your life to form something in you. Don't. And if you didn't get formed by it, we're going to have to do it again. I don't want to do it again. I want to be formed by it. I want something of eternal glory to be formed in me through the unmet expectation. Through the challenging disappointment. So what do? Check this out. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, not on the circumstance, not on the situation, not on the owie. We don't fix our eyes on the earthly situation that is causing us so much pain and ache, but instead we set our eyes on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal, decoding that cryptic language. We set our eyes on the Lord. We set our eyes on who he is, his character. We set our eyes on his promises. And we set our eyes on this statement, this idea, this concept, this prophecy out of Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14. We set our eyes on this. This would be the, okay, don't set your eyes on the circumstance. What do you do instead? I remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Dang it! There it is again! Timing! Crud! Wait on the Lord. Be strong. Take heart and wait on the Lord. Do you see the struggle? You see what's being said here? It says, look, I'm confident about this. I am not playing around. I really know this to be true. I am confident about this. I will see God move on my behalf. I will see the answers to my prayers. It's going to happen. I will see it. I remain confident. But I gotta wait. And it's always gonna be longer than you wanna wait. It's always longer. You gotta wait on the Lord. But if you do, He'll renew you, He'll give you strength. Also, not just wait on the Lord, you gotta give yourself a pep talk. Be strong. Don't give up. Don't quit. Take heart and do some more waiting on the Lord. Sign up to engage Jesus. Engage Jesus. Engage Jesus and not quit. Sign up. And when you find yourself in that struggle, I don't know if I can keep going, you give yourself a pep talk, a slap talk, and you go, no, man of God, woman of God, you're going to do this thing. Go, I am going to seek the Lord. I am confident He will show up on my behalf at some point when He's good and ready. His timing is always wise. It's not like He forgot. I was so busy being God, I forgot the calendar. I'll have to get back to you next year. He's really like, He's on it. He's on the ball. It's just not time yet. And we, in our wisdom, want to demand He align His timing to ours. That's not how it works. And that's where offense comes in. That's where the disappointments grow. Because He's not doing it the way we wanted when we wanted it. We've got to engage Him. Guys, we just can't stop reaching for Him in the midst of our pain. You can't turn it off and stop talking to Him about it. Your heart will grow bitter. If you need a day or a week, okay, but not three. Like if you need a minute, regroup. But you can't live there. You can't just turn off a conversation. We're done talking about this. We're done. That's offense. And the enemy's like, thank you. Thank you for finally giving in to offense. Now I can wreak havoc in your life. We've got to keep seeking Him, and we got to trust His timing. We got to wait on the Lord. And we just got to cast our anxiety on Him. I'll just tell you, one of the tricks of the trade is learning the process internally of casting an anxiety on the Lord and not taking it back. Because the tendency is you give it to Him for the 5 minutes you're in a worship song, and then when the song's over, you're like, okay, I'll take that back, and now I'll meditate on that horrible thing some more and get a little bit more sludge and slime all over my life again. It's like, no, you got to cast your anxiety. You got to go, if we all die, it's yours. Congratulations, you've just inherited a heaping hot mess. And it's yours, it's not my problem anymore. It's yours. And leave it there. And go, I'm just gonna wait on you. I'm gonna trust, I'm gonna wait. And I'm not gonna stop talking to you about it because you're gracious and you long to hear my cry and you are for me, you are kind, and I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We got to give ourselves some pep talk. And I'll just tell you this. The world around us isn't helping. It's only contributing to the yuck. Our own thoughts, without reining them in, will accuse us and cause us additional pain. The enemy is coming against us and striking and throwing arrows. Sometimes those nearest to us will accidentally poke us in just the wrong way, and they didn't do it on purpose. We've got like a real fight here. You can't stop fighting. You're in the ring. Don't put the gloves down. We have got to keep fighting, and that fighting is we have got to keep reaching for Jesus. We've got to keep talking to Him about the problems. We've got to keep asking Him for help. We've got to keep quoting the truth about who He is and who we are to Him so that we don't allow disappointment and unmet expectations to turn into accusation and take us out. God has good plans for you. but he won't do it for you. He wants partnership with. And that partnership, our part is really pretty small. I just told you our part. That's all we can do. It's not like you can make your life look this way or make your life look that way. All you can do is that little part. But if you don't do that part, he's not going to just do it for you. We've got to do our little part, which is, oh God, help me. Let me humble myself before you again. Let me trust you. Let me wait on you. And let me keep talking to you about this thing and asking you for grace. And in the meantime, you're surrounded by a bunch of people that love you that'll help you.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.